Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
To note that while this is a criminal investigation, no determination has been made as to whether the deputy's actions were justified or not. Here in Okaloosa County, we pride ourselves in our commitment to transparency and accountability. These investigations take time, but I want to assure you that we are not hiding, covering up, or taking action that would result in a rush to judgment of Mr. Fortson or our deputy.
This is Sheriff Eric Aiden from Okaloosa County speaking yesterday ahead of a press conference, or in a press conference, in which they showed the body cam footage of the incident, which is, I'm surprised they came out with that. But then again, I'm not surprised, because some of the claims being made by the Benjamin Crump and the family and the lawyers were inaccurate. I mean, claiming that he covered the peephole from the door, or claiming that, he did not announce himself. Or that he barged in to the room, all of which were shown to be false on the actual recording.
We are aware of a press release and other comments that falsely state our deputy entered the wrong apartment and imply that they burst through the door into Mr. Fortson's residence. Those statements are inaccurate, as shown on the video that we are about to see.
And also,
what we do know at this time is that the deputy did announce himself, not once, but twice. Mr. Fortson's comments indicate that he did acknowledge it was law enforcement at the door, and he arrived at the door with a firearm in his hand. The deputy knocked on the correct door. He did not cover the peephole or otherwise obscure its view in any way. Again, I don't share this information to pass judgment. We simply want to assure the community of what is known at this time.
And that's all that he's doing at this point, is dispelling the false claims that have been out there, including what we thought had been true, which is that they'd gone to the wrong door, and, you know, trying to make sense out of this incident where he was apparently on FaceTime or something with his girlfriend at the time, and then what happened in the incident. One last comment from Eric Aiden before we get to the video, because it is important to talk about what really did take place here.
I told Mr. Fortson's family this afternoon that they have my word, if this shooting is found to be unjustified, their son's name will be fully vindicated and justice will be served.
And that's exactly what FDLE is going to do. So the sheriff's deputy shows up at the apartment complex, talks to the manager in one building. Manager says, it's kind of over here, go talk to this lady. He connects with the resident out in the, like, courtyard parking lot area, talks with her. She says it's 1401. She's heard things in that. The way I understood it was that she had heard things in that area before as a disturbance. So he's, you know, goes up to 1401 and goes to the correct door. You can see it on the body camera. So going to the wrong door, the allegation is disproved. And then first encounter, he's just listening. You know, he's gathering information, is my interpretation. He's just listening at the door, and then he knocks. And then he does what, you know, sheriff's deputies and law enforcement are trained to do. He steps out of the way. Because if you're standing in front of the door and somebody's inside with a gun, guess what happens to you? So they step sideways. So he waits about 35 seconds, and not much is happening at this time. So he goes back in front of the door, and
sheriff's office, open the door.
So that's one announced sheriff's office, open the door.
Sheriff's office, open the door.
And in this period, there was some muffled comments from inside. The transcript audio subtitle said police, like maybe the, you know, Roger Foston had actually acknowledged that it was police. It's not clear. But then he does open the door to the deputy. And this is the bad part. When he opens the door to the deputy, I mean, bad in terms of what happened. He opens the door to the deputy, and he's got a gun at his side in his hand, arm extended, but the gun is pointing down towards the ground. The deputy does not have his gun drawn at this point. The deputy is just doesn't, you know, everything's been calm up until this point.
Drop the gun! Drop the gun!
He's on the ground. He's been shot. is being told to get rid of the gun that he doesn't have anymore.
312, shots fired. Suspect down.
He calls in to the dispatch.
Do not move! 312, get EMS on location.
And then calls in for EMS. So, this is really awful. And you have a resident who has somebody show up at their door knocking. He can't see who it is through the peephole because he steps sideways. He's got a gun, which is absolutely his right to have. He goes to the door, and once he realizes or believes that it's the sheriff's office, he opens the door. But he does have a gun in his hand. Sheriff's deputy at first doesn't notice, then sees the gun and immediately draws and shoots. FDLE is investigating. When I talked about this at 5 o'clock, I had my view was, it's awful. And I can understand why the sheriff's deputy shot, and I can understand why he shouldn't have shot. And if I'm a homeowner, I show up at the door just like this. You know, not pointing the gun at, okay? Especially not if they've announced that they're a sheriff. But you don't know if it's a sheriff or not when you're on the other side of the door. And he's entitled to own a gun and have a gun and carry a gun inside his own home. If you're a sheriff's deputy and the gun's pointed at you, you are clearly justified in shooting because you don't have to wait for them to shoot. But here's the thing. I've been talking to some law enforcement folks this morning since that analysis. And I have adjusted my view on this incident a little bit. Here, to me, is the key distinction. If the gun is pointed down at the ground and you're in a residence, the homeowner hasn't threatened you yet. It's not great. But I got to assume that this kind of thing happens fairly often where you show up to a residence for a call and somebody's got a gun. They're not menacing and they're not pointing it at you, but they're holding it pointed down. And just like I said at this 5 o'clock, I said, I would feel uncomfortable shooting in this situation. I wouldn't feel uncomfortable drawing. The officer's perfectly within their right to draw, but what they probably should do is tell him to drop the gun. And he didn't. And that's what I said at 5 o'clock. I said, I wish he would have given him a drop command. I wish that would have happened. That didn't happen. So, do you blame a police officer in this circumstance? I'm going to let FDLE run their investigation. I have changed a little bit in my view from talking to some friends who are police officers, law enforcement officers, and I thought, yeah, I mean, that's one of the hardest situations as a cop to deal with, but precisely because you encounter that situation, it seems like it's supposed to go this way and not go that way. Again, if he had finger on the trigger, pointed the gun, any of the above, justified shooting, clearly. Horrible nevertheless, but justified. If I'm a homeowner, I mean, I worry that if I'm a homeowner, I might, encounter something like this. If the police show up at my door, what would you do? But that's exactly why I think you have to either wait for it to be pointed or you have to give a command to drop the gun and give them a chance to comply with that, at which point, obviously, you cannot shoot. So, sheriff says they're working with the military. Of course, the lawyers for the family are, apoplectic about this, and the family is very upset, and it's a horrible outcome for a loss of what everybody says was a great member of the military. I don't know the backstory on the woman who made the report. I don't know the backstory on whether there was a fight or anything like that. I mean, the girlfriend wasn't even in the apartment, so all of that I think is still to be figured out, but I've shifted just a little bit in the way I interpret this case, but I'm still going to wait for, the final report to come out. 719 on News Radio 92.3, Jimmy's got traffic for us.
If you're heading southbound and northbound on North Palafox Street, right at the intersection of 9.5 Mile Road, we are seeing a lot of traffic building up there due to an accident that happened earlier. If you want to take a cross street, if you're heading north, I would just go ahead and hop on Pensacola Boulevard and get off on Kingsfield Road. At 9 Mile and Fowler Road, which is just west of Highway 29 intersection, right as you get off Highway 29 onto 9 Mile right next to the Lowe's, that traffic light is out, so please treat that intersection as a four-way stop. Avalon Street has been cleared, Avalon Boulevard in Milton, Avalon and I-10. South Highway 97, trees on both the north and south side of Kingsfield Road, building up a lot of traffic, so please expect delays and drive with caution through that area as they get that road cleared. and a vehicle crash on Jernigan Road and Johnson Avenue. That is causing a roadblock as well, so drive with caution there. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
To all the moms out there, we want to wish you a terrific Mother's Day today. Without you, none of us would be here. On this day and all year long, we appreciate the matriarchs of our families. We appreciate you for the meals that you prepare, the wisdom that you provide, and most importantly, the love that you display in so many different ways. Moms, we honor you today, and we recognize that your service to our family is a wonderful ministry of sacrifice. Moms, thank you for teaching your children to obey. Thank you for building confident children. And most importantly, to the Christian moms, thank you for teaching your children in accordance with Deuteronomy 6 to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily. Visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
Morning, 7:23 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, we're going to talk to Dave Greenwood in just a moment. He's the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. This beach report is brought to you by All Season Service Network. We guarantee to always provide the best service in the area. All Season Service Network. Dave Greenwood, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you, and happy Mother's Day on Sunday to all the mothers out there, keeping that in mind. What are we looking at this weekend for the beach conditions?
Beach conditions look like very favorable. We're waiting for this weather to pass through, but Saturday and Sunday, it looks like we'll have some great beach weather. I'm happy to say we'll have are ramping up our staff. More people are coming back from school. We'll have lifeguards at most of our beaches, Park East, Park West, Casino, and Quiet Water on Saturday and Sunday.
And when is the target implementation date again for Perdido? Is it a month out or so? How far out is that?
No, it's actually in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
We've been preparing that for the last few weeks. We've been going over there and preparing all the logistics that we'll need that will require. So we're moving forward with that, and also Gulf Islands National Seashore will pick up in a few weeks also.
That's for both Johnson Beach and Fort Pickens, or just Johnson Beach?
Yes, correct. Langdon Beach. Yes.
Very good. Anything else you want us to know this weekend? I know you always are full of good safety tips. Anything for us this weekend?
Oh, it was really hot Saturday, but it looks like we're going to get a little bit of break in that heat. It should be cooler. Relatively cooler than it was last Saturday or Sunday, but... if you see a man of war on the beach, do not pick it up. Do not touch. That's the rule of thumb. Marine animals, don't touch them.
Very good. Always good advice, especially for the bright, colorful. Look, what is it if we play with it? Ah! No, and don't.
That's exactly the incident that happened last Friday.
And were they okay, or were they just in pain, or...
Oh, well, they weren't okay. They were in pain, but, it wasn't life-threatening, but it was extremely painful, a learning experience.
I'm just makes me shudder to think about it. Dave Greenwood is our Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, as always, thank you for what you do, keeping us informed, keeping our residents and our visitors safe, and, training those young people to assist you in that job. I appreciate it, sir. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Andrew. Have a great weekend. I'll look forward to talking to you next Friday.
You bet.
Picture this. It's a hot, humid summer day and your AC stops working. What do? You call All Seasons Service Network. All Seasons has been locally owned and operated since 1967, offering 24/7 emergency services with multiple technicians ready at all times for your future HVAC needs. From residential to commercial, All Seasons provides installations, new construction builds, and any other kind of HVAC needs. Visit allseasonsnow.com to schedule an appointment or call 850-434-0384. Call today.
726 on News Radio Pensacola. Let's get traffic now with Jimmy.
So unprepared. I'm sorry.
it's doing that segment with the ad that we've been. It's like a different rhythm for everything for us, so it throws us all off. Sorry.
You know, it's great though. It's great.
It is very good. Right. We super appreciate All Seasons.
On 9 Mile and Fowler Road, that light is out. That intersection again is just off the just west of Highway 29. When you take the 9 Mile exit there, that intersection is right next to the Lowe's. And again, the traffic light is out, so please treat that as a 4-way stop. On South Highway 97, trees on both the north and south side of Kingsfield Road, building up a lot of traffic. So please expect delays and drive with caution through that area. There is debris on the roadway on Chemstrand Road, just north of Timber Ridge Drive in North Pensacola. And on Jernigan Road and East Johnson Avenue, a vehicle crash has the road blocked as well. We are just seeing a lot of random debris pop up from last night's storm, so make sure you're driving with caution and get to where you're going safely. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, man, I don't know. When I was leaving my subdivision this morning, it was me driving, road rally bumper cars around the trash cans because they were all over the place. And I felt bad because if I, had a more leisurely timetable, I could have stopped and, moved them back onto the side or whatever. I thought, I just got to get to work. So be aware of the, possibility that is still in your way this morning. I mean, it's light out and it's probably, most people will clean it up. But if you haven't gone out and checked your garbage this morning, maybe you want to do that. 728 here on News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The UN General Assembly is expected to support a Palestinian bid to become a full member of the United Nations today. All 193 members of the General Assembly are expected to vote on a draft resolution which would authorize the Palestinians as qualified to join the UN. The bid would then need to be approved by the UN Security Council. Two streaming rivals are teaming up, Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery. They've announced that they'll be offering a bundle of Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max. That's expected to be available later this summer. And a Virginia school board is voting to restore Confederate names to two schools. The Shenandoah County School Board had voted back in 2020 to remove the names of Confederate generals Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee from the schools. But at a meeting this week, the school board has now voted to restore the Confederate names, saying that when they made that change, they didn't get public input.
Okay. It's the Confederate references hokey pokey. Is what we like to call it.
That's right.
You put your rightly in, you put your rightly out, you put your rightly in, and you shake a saber all about. I don't know. That's the best I got. David, thanks so much for
that. That was pretty good for on the fly, though.
Also, it's probably the first time in your entire life that you pictured Robert E. Lee dancing, which is different.
Yeah,
different.
That's not
it's not the norm.
Not normally in my head, but
no,
it is now.
Right now.
Thank you.
I just can't get it out. Thanks for that. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide, is now the time? Is later the time? Is later a better time to buy or sell? What about military change of station when that's happening? Or what about when schools are in or out? Or what are the interest rates, the market? Summer versus the fall? I mean, all of that stuff, okay? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty understand. They can answer those questions. They can give you perspective and help you ask even better questions. And then if you want to sell, I mean, they have a whole process that is very particular and very effective. 175 homes they sold just last year. Pretty amazing. 3.5 a week. That's pretty good. And they will help you sell the home and get a good price for it. If you're buying, same thing. They know how to help you buy. They can help you find what you want in your price range and what can be negotiated, what can't, and how to get you into the home that you've always been looking for. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. Give her a call at 723-9158. Bands on the Beach every Tuesday at the Gulfside Pavilion. Coming up next Tuesday, it'll be the Modern Eldorados, May 14th. The Modern Eldorados, May 14th at the Pavilion. 7 o'clock is when that starts. Always a good time. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next. And we have a very interesting story from Alex Andrade coming up after that.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Tornado outbreak in Tallahassee, Florida.
A confirmed tornado observed on the ground where we have millions of people living.
Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean, thousands without power in the Florida Capitol. Day 15 at former President Trump's criminal trial. Cross-examination resumes of the former White House aide, Madeline Westerhout.
Prosecutors called her to testify about Trump's signing checks, but court observers say her appearance backfired on the prosecution. She tearfully cried on the stand, praising Trump, saying he is a good family man, and told the jury that he was a great president.
Fox's Eric Shawn. Fox has learned that the prosecution star witness, Michael Cohen, will take the stand on Monday. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. University of Pennsylvania police in riot gear moving in, clearing out the anti-Israel tent city earlier today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio Pensacola. Right now we do have cloudy skies. It is 69 degrees here in Pensacola this morning. We did see some severe storms here earlier this morning. Some of the worst of that was in Crestview, where a tornado and straight-line winds have reportedly caused a lot of damage today. City officials say people should avoid any unnecessary travel in the area, as extensive damage has been reported with multiple trees and roadways there. Now, so far, we haven't had any major reports of damage here in Escambia or Santa Rosa counties, but there have been some reports of minor debris to watch out for as you're on your morning commute today. Okaloosa County Sheriff Eric Aiden says transparency and accountability are his top priorities. Yesterday afternoon, the body camera footage was released showing the deputy-involved shooting of 23-year-old senior airman Roger Fortson.
It is important to note that while this is a criminal investigation, no determination has been made as to whether the deputy's actions were justified or not. Here in Okaloosa County, we pride ourselves in our commitment to transparency and accountability. These investigations take time, but I want to assure you that we are not hiding, covering up, or taking action that would result in a rush to judgment of Mr. Fortson or our deputy.
And the footage shows the deputy identifying himself and firmly knocking on the door twice. It also shows that no forceful entry was made. However, the deputy did very quickly fire at Fortson when he saw that he was carrying a gun. FDLE and the state attorney's office are now working to determine if the deputy's actions were justified. The family of Gulf Breeze plastic surgeon Dr. Ben Brown have now released a statement this 1 week now after the state issued an immediate restriction on Brown's medical license. The Florida Department of Health issued that restriction after several complaints involving Brown's practice at Restore Plastic Surgery. The statement says that the order was issued without Brown having an opportunity to dispute the allegations through a hearing process. The family also calls the accusations, quote, inaccurate and misleading. In a split vote yesterday, Santa Rosa County leaders approved changes to the ballot language that voters will see on the local option sales tax referendum this November. With a half cent sales tax already on the books, the Florida Department of Revenue told the county that a second half cent tax wouldn't be allowed.
I agree that the language the board approved initially, wording this as an additional half cent, was really more clear, but unfortunately DOR has directed that it has to be a 1 cent, existing half cent, if the voters approve. Of course, 1/2 plus 1/2 equals 1.
And that from County Attorney Tom Danheiser. After a few minutes of discussion, the board did vote to repeal the existing ordinance and ask voters to approve a full 1 cent tax, which would also be tied to a vote to allow for road infrastructure impact fees. One of the state's biggest home insurance companies is going to have to pay a steep fine. The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation fined Heritage Insurance $1 million yesterday. The insurance company was found to have violated state laws after Hurricane Ian. Regulators say Heritage was slow to pay or deny claims and also didn't communicate adequately with its policyholders. It is 7:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives.
If you're on Highway 97, you can expect to see a lot of backup before and after the Kingsfield Road intersection due to some trees that were in the road earlier. Kingsfield Road itself experiencing a lot of slowdowns due to debris in the road. And looks like Highway 297A is looking pretty backed up. We're unclear as to whether that's just as a detour from the Kingsfield, but expect some delays through there. North Palafox Street at the intersection of 9.5 Mile Road showing a lot of backup before and after that intersection due to a vehicle crash that happened earlier. And a lot of traffic building up downtown, particularly on 9th Avenue as you head towards Cervantes. Gulf Breeze and Navarre, ironically enough, not showing any major slowdowns this time of morning, usually backed up, but looking clear all the way into Pensacola. Knock on wood. That's not wood. Payson Milton, if you're coming in from Payson Milton, you're looking pretty good all the way over the Escambia Brave Bridge into Pensacola until you get to about Davis Highway, and then outside the hospital looking like it's picking up a little bit. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. And now let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast. So there was a severe thunderstorm watch that's now expired, but there were some severe storms, of course, as we mentioned earlier this morning, and we could see additional storms here throughout the mid-morning hours today. But the storm systems, though, expected to clear for this afternoon. That'll lead to some sunny skies, a high in the mid-80s later today, then a low of around 70 tonight, and a beautiful weekend ahead with sunshine, highs in the low 80s both Saturday and Sunday, then the next chance of rain on Monday and Tuesday. 7:37, our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shareholders at Boyd Gaming, Bally's Entertainment, and Caesars Entertainment will vote on whether indoor smoking should be permitted at its casinos. The three gambling giants collectively operate 75 U.S. casinos that permit indoor smoking where state law allows. Advocates for smoking bans point to research that says smoke-free casinos generate more revenue and outperform competitors that allow smoking. Target is planning to cut LGBTQ-themed merchandise from some of its stores during Pride Month this June after a backlash hit sales of the retailer last year. Target plans to offer the full assortment of the merchandise online and is expected to stock the products in about half of its nearly 2,000 stores in the U.S. Futures are slightly higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 331, the NASDAQ up 43, and the S&P 500 up 26. Once again, futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
We see it every day. A guy comes into the men's clinic and guess what? The pills quit working, or they're sick of the side effects. And you know what else we see? Guys not confident in their relationship. At Wave Men's Health, we're the leaders in bedroom confidence. Understanding if you even need ED or low T treatment should be the first step, and the next should be choosing the treatment or treatment combination to build your confidence. Our urologist and physician group is offering professional, modern treatments with success rates as high as 92% and decades of experience. Our doctor's not going to send you an email with what might work for most people. We are results-driven. Concierge. You don't pay for medication. It's included, but you invest in the time it takes to get you where you want to be. We've built an experience with discretion that takes the worry out of going to the doctor. In fact, we've normalized it for guys all over Pensacola. Come see our friendly team in Pensacola and find out why we've been number one in men's health for years. Get a consultation and low-T blood work with results on your first visit for $99. Get your confidence back in the bedroom and beyond. Go to WaveMensHealth.com and book your appointment today. WaveMensHealth.com.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started?
You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising this Monday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Alex Andrade is our state representative for House District 2. That is the southern portion of Escambia County and the most southern beachfront, basically, portions of Santa Rosa County. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Good to have you. So you and I were talking yesterday about something that had been brought to your attention by one of our local sheriffs, and I want you to tell them what you told me, because it's amazing, quite frankly.
Yeah, and it's like ultimately it's just a bizarre loophole that now we're trying to address. So Sheriff Johnson a couple days ago gave me a call and said, hey, we're seeing an uptick in our traffic stops of vehicles that are registered in the driver's name, but that driver is not here in the country legally. They're an illegal immigrant. They don't have a driver's license and often don't have car insurance. So what is going on? We're not sure. How are illegal immigrants able to get these license plates and vehicles registered? So I called Scott Lunsford over in Escambia County, and he told me that the tax collector's offices are seeing an uptick in people showing up with passports that have been freshly issued from the Orlando consulate of the Mexican consulate in Orlando. By law, by rule, by agency rule at the Department of Highway Safety Motor Vehicles, all you need is a passport as your identification to get your tag and title issued by tax collectors. So it's a situation right now because the tax collectors aren't able to run those names when a passport's used to get tag and title, where, you know, the state, by our process, is having to issue these tag and title to vehicles to illegal immigrants. And then I think that's part of the reason why we keep seeing these stories about illegal immigrants getting in car accidents or causing deaths. And it's something that we need to try and address as soon as possible.
Wait a minute. you're telling me that we have people illegally crossing the border, going to the Mexican consulate in Orlando, the consulate whipping out its basement printing press for passports, pardon my embellishment, issuing them a passport, then they're going to the tax collector's office and getting a car registration, which the tax collector's office must process because a passport is a valid identification, no driver's license necessary, no ability to check to see if they're here in the country legally, no proof of insurance. But because they have a passport from a foreign country, we have to issue them a registration for that car. Am I hearing this right?
That's what the evidence is kind of showing right now. There's two big questions that I obviously needed help with. So
this is legal. This is legal right now. This is legal. There's nothing to prevent this. It's actually required.
Yeah. The two questions obviously are: has there been an uptick in passports being issued by the Mexican consulates in the state? There's one in Miami and Orlando. And what is the process for verifying car insurance? Because when you apply for a vehicle registration, you at least have to say that you have car insurance and maybe list some numbers. I don't know if that's fully verified or if they have the ability to verify that.
Okay.
What I do know is that the state has a contract with USCIS. It's the database to confirm whether or not someone is here in the country legally. Law enforcement often has access to that, but our tax collectors don't when they're issuing tag and title. So I reached out to Congressman Gates and Senator Scott yesterday. What I'm hoping can get done is the federal government can modify the contract with the state to allow our tax collectors to start running that, running those names through that database to confirm. And then also, I think the fastest solution right now is to at least try and make sure and verify the car insurance that's listed on these applications, because I don't know each private company exactly how they verify if someone has a driver's license to get their vehicle insurance. I can tell you that for motorcycles, you're not required to have insurance. So someone, an illegal immigrant right now, doesn't even have to show they have insurance to get a registration for a motorcycle. But this is a serious situation where we're potentially, because of this kind of bizarre loophole, allowing people without driver's licenses for sure, and often without car insurance, to be driving on our roads when they, you know, aren't even in the country legally.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I heard you right. The database to verify legal status that the tax collector has access to in order to issue, that is only a database that they are allowed to query for licenses. They're not allowed to query that for registrations. Did I hear you on that distinction?
Yeah, when you apply for your driver's license, you have the Real ID database, which obviously interfaces with other databases like USCIS. You can run names through USCIS right now, but only for limited purposes, because the federal government has a contract with the state that prevents certain uses of that database. There's no valid use right now under that contract for tax collectors to verify citizenship before issuing tag and title, and that's something that needs to change as quickly as possible.
Okay. Yeah, no, definitely. All right. Wow. So, but I suppose the one small good takeaway is you're aware of it. The congressman and the senator, they're aware of it. We're working on the problem. And there may be a sort of a quick term solution in terms of actually verifying this proof of insurance, which, you know, maybe had not been done or was not able to be done previously. That can happen without legislation. So that's good news. We have something else I want to talk with you about in just a second. Hang on. We're talking to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2 in the Florida House. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you were on 9 Mile Road and the at the Fowler intersection, just outside of that Lowe's on 9 Mile, that traffic light is still out. So please treat that intersection as a four-way stop. And Lillian Highway and 57th Avenue in West Pensacola, that traffic light is out as well. So treat that one as a four-way stop as well, and please use caution approaching those lights. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Aside from my astounding stunnedness, I guess, at the other story, I'm glad you guys are working on it. Wow, I just don't know what to say. It's amazing. The other question I had for you is, obviously, you're well aware of incorporation. It seems to be the hot issue for District 2. Last year with Perdido and this year with Navarre. I don't know if like it's in vogue, although Navarre's been trying it for years. Something that came up in the conversation about incorporation the other day in Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, I thought was actually a very good question, was why does it have to be this way? Why does it have to be at the whim or will of the legislator? Why can't it be like running for office, where you just go get your signatures or pay your fee and then you're in? You have a vote and you're done. Why does it have to be this kind of weird who wants what process, straw polls, all of that kind of stuff?
Well, I can say, first and foremost, the most dangerous words in government are, this is how we've always done it, right? It's not just like I'm from the government here to help. It's this is how we've always done it. That's the most dangerous phrase in government. And unfortunately, our statute's not been updated. And we do, because I think you described it as a paternalistic system where, you know, these folks who want to get a question on the ballot have to subject themselves to a paternalistic arbitrary system where, you know, it's like, whose line is it anyway? The rules are made up and the points don't matter or something.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's the situation we have. I think we'd be far better off if we had incorporation questions addressed more similarly to constitutional amendment questions, where you have a certain percentage of the voting population that has to sign a petition. It's nowhere near 50%. I think for constitutional amendments, it's 10% of the voting population. I think that if we had a situation where for incorporation to get the question on the ballot for a vote, if you got, you know, say 15 or 20% of the voting population of the proposed area to sign a petition, and then you had your feasibility study checked by the Florida Department of Revenue and any other state agency that might need to check it, you should be able to have that question addressed, just because it's not a question of whether or not it's going to pass, right? You shouldn't have to say, well, you can only have this question on the ballot if we know that more than 50% of people are going to vote
right.
for it. That's a ridiculous system. But you have to ask the question, is this a valid question that the voter should decide? And I think that the petition method is a far better method. Unfortunately, right now, it doesn't exist. It would have to require a statutory change. And that's something that Jared Williamson took up one time. I don't know if it had a Senate sponsor. It didn't go anywhere. This is something that I really do want to address, because I'm tired of, you know, having to answer folks who don't want an incorporation and telling them why, even though I might agree with them, you know, it should be on the ballot. And I'm tired of being put in the position of being accused of supporting or opposing incorporation just because I'm trying to address the question of whether or not it should be in the ballot at all. I don't think that's a position that, you know, partisan elected officials should be in, because then it's a disservice to voters. There's potentially some valid circumstances where incorporation should happen. I don't happen to think if I lived in Perdido or Navarre, I'd personally vote for incorporation. But, like, again, my personal bias, my personal subjective opinion should not be the deciding factor for whether or not a question is put on the ballot.
Right.
I'm my plan right now is, so long as I'm reelected to office for my last term, I'll try and pass a law to make it far more similar to the constitutional amendment process than to this kind of weird paternalistic arbitrary process we have today.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's so odd. First of all, there's no regularity. Which legislator wants you to do which thing in which order? And as you say, you know, you shouldn't have to be like, please, mother, may I, you know, have a vote on this thing? You know, please, yeah. Please, sir, may I have some more democracy? you know, like yeah. that's just not the way our system
right
is supposed to work.
It really is. The rules are made up and the points don't matter in this incorporation system we have right now.
It's crazy.
And it's something that should change. The Supreme Court weighs in on the language for a constitutional amendment. And so long as you get your petitions and they're valid and you don't break the law when you're collecting them, you should have the question on the ballot. The same way, you know, if you really think incorporation is going to solve the problems in your community, I think so long as you're honest about the effects of incorporation and you collect your petitions and you do it in an honest and sincere way, you should have that question answered on the ballot.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm glad to hear that you're kind of ahead of the curve on this and, you know, thinking about how you might remedy that in the future anyway. Hey, last thing, just because, you know, I know we're still waiting on the budget, but, you know, you and I were talking a little bit off the air before you came on. And one of the huge win, at least I think it's a huge win for our college system and university and like Pensacola State and UWF and everybody else is a health insurance funding change, right?
Yeah, and the best part about Senator Broxton being my counterpart in the Senate is that he took care of all these big issues so I could focus on the little things, like a few million dollars here or there for our community. He was able to get $80 million recurring into the state budget that hasn't been signed yet, but God willing it will be, to bring Pensacola State College and every state college in the state, their instructional staff, onto the state health insurance system, which they were not right now. What that will allow is for better recruitment of better staff members at these state colleges. Right now, there was a real-world example where a UWF professor left UWF to co-work at Pensacola State College. They got a salary pay bump, but they ended up losing money in the move because they didn't realize just how much more their health insurance for their family was going to cost when they left that state health insurance system. So for Senator Broxton to get $80 million in recurring funds into the state budget for our state college system was a massive legacy-defining win. One of the many he was able to get this year.
Oh, that's fantastic news. And as you say, God willing, the governor signs it. I appreciate it. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. Alex, good to talk to you again. Thanks for the time. And we look forward to an update on the Mexican illegal passport mill coming out of Orlando, letting them buy cars and drive on the road, whether they have insurance or legal status. Yikes. That's all I can say. Alex, thanks for the time, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 7:54 here on News Radio Pensacola. Just a quick note. it seemed like the weather was dissipating, but all of a sudden there is a just line of danger in storms. It goes all the, it's basically everything between I-10 and the border with Alabama, except for how it dips down in Pensacola, but like across that line east of us in like Santa Rosa and Okaloosa. So the north third of Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa County right now is showing high intensity, straight flat winds, yellow, orange, red, deep red, and even pink on my News Radio ThreatNet radar. So very concerning stuff. You know, I had thought the weather had mostly passed us, but for anybody living in the northern third of our counties, it has definitely not passed. It is forming and reforming in that area, and that may be going on this morning. We'll kind of keep an eye on that. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are on South Highway 97, there were some trees that were blocking the road just north and south of the West Kingsfield Road intersection. And it's still building up some traffic there, so expect some delays. Kingsfield itself, in between Highway 97 and 297, looking really backed up. And just south of the Kingsfield intersection on 297, we are seeing a lot of traffic built up there as well. Unsure as to whether that is just a detour from South Highway 97, but just expect delays. Drive with caution. Drive with caution all over the roads today because we are seeing a lot of debris pop up from the storm last night. North Palafox Street, if you're going southbound, that intersection with 9.5 mile road, is looking a little backed up as well. We have a few traffic lights out on the road today. Lillian Highway and 57th Avenue in West Pensacola and Bayou Boulevard right by the Ronald McDonald House and Buffalo Wild Wings there. That light is flashing as well. One more on 9 Mile and Fowler Road just west of the Highway 29 intersection. That light is out. So please treat all those intersections as four-way stops and drive with caution this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Gibbs Firearms is urging you to treat the mama bear in your life to something special. And not just any gift, but one that speaks to her primal instinct to safeguard her loved ones. A mama bear, fierce and protective, is always ensuring her cubs are safe. At Gibbs Firearms, they understand the mama bear effect better than anyone. Right now, when you purchase a firearm at Gibbs, you're automatically entered into their gun-toting mama's concealed carry purse raffle. Make this Mother's Day one to remember. Gibbs Firearms, at the corner of Blue Angel and Sereno Road, or online at gibbsfirearms.net.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm out.
Good morning, 7:58 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Let's see, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, reports coming in that Israeli tanks have captured the main road through the city of Rafah.
Prime Minister Netanyahu is determined to press on with an offensive against Rafah, saying Israel is prepared to act alone and fight with only our fingernails if necessary, but adding, we have much more than our fingernails.
NBC's Richard Engel, the eastern half of the Gaza Strip now encircled by Israeli forces.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Be safe driving on I-10 and anywhere north of it.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.